insurance, and some even have Aflac or something like that, you know. To help you out with whatever it is that's going on, it's nice to have insurance because otherwise something could happen and it really messes things up. Whether it's health insurance or car insurance or recreational vehicle insurance or life insurance or long-term care insurance or homeowners insurance or funeral insurance. You could go on and on. You can get insurance for just about anything. Why? Well, if you don't have it and something happens, sometimes you can kind of go broke over whatever it is that happens to you. Now, this morning, I'm not going to compare Jesus to insurance because he's much more than that. In fact, we've talked in times past about how some people want to come to faith in Christ only for the fire insurance. You know, I ain't going to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. He's more than that. He's more than that, but I do want to say that when we have Jesus in our life, it's going to be okay. Just like when you have insurance and you have something that's going on, you realize you might have to pay something, but it's going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. And I want you to know in Christ, you're going to be okay. What's interesting in this text is we see we're triple covered. You see, some people say, well, the Bible never talks about the Trinity. The word Trinity is never used in the Bible. That word is never used in the Bible. It's a term that we've used to describe God, who is in essence one in three persons. And you try to describe that to people, and I don't think there's ever been a book that has been written that can so adequately explain it that it becomes easy to understand. We use some things to try and describe the triune Godhead. And, you know, the two that I guess I've probably used the most is, well, you look at H2O, and there's water in the form of ice. There's water in the form of the liquid that we see a lot of out here, more than we've wanted to see lately. And then you've got steam, you know, which is water in that form. They're all H2O. One in essence. Three in another sense. Now, theologians would say, yeah, and then they try to pick it apart and say, yeah, that's not quite adequate. No, it's not. Nothing is adequate. Something so awesome and wonderful and powerful as that, how can a human mind quite understand that? I don't know. I think sometimes people have used like the triangle. You know, it is a triangle, and there's three sides to the triangle, all equal sides. And you're looking at it from three different angles, but it's one in essence. Well, I don't know. Again, a theologian would sit there and they'd try to break it apart and say, that's not adequate. And I'd say, nope, it's not adequate. But at least it helps me to understand, to some degree, what John is saying here, because you realize what John has really been trying to do through this whole 1 John is to help the church to stay faithful and to understand who Jesus really is. And there was a schism in the church where there were those who were teaching a Jesus that was not the Jesus that has been proclaimed throughout the whole New Testament and even explained to us in the Old Testament, the one that was to come. And he's trying to share with them who this Jesus is. And it really gets into it here this morning. I'm going to take these few verses and try to kind of lay it out for us a little bit in just a moment. In light of what I just shared with you this morning about insurance, I want to say right now to you and to me that Jesus indeed is enough. He has been enough for me in all of life. He's been enough. He's been more than enough. And I know so much so that he's enough for me in my future no matter what lies ahead. And it's because I understand who Jesus really is. He's more than what the schism in the church was giving him credit to being. Jesus is God the Son. Jesus is not just a human. He wasn't just divine. He was the God-man who came to earth as fully divine and fully human. The scriptures are clear, and John is trying to share with the church here very clear on who Jesus really was. He shares that one essence, that one substance. His nature is as God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, so is God the Son. Three persons, one in essence. And no, I can't stand here this morning and explain it to you in such a way that you go, that's easy. I can't do that. But I know it is because he said so. And I know that you and I, if we want to look in light of the whole insurance thing, that you and I are covered inside and out. I think of it this way. You know, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, his presence is in you from that point forward forever. The Holy Spirit takes residence in your heart and mind. We pray to God. People say, well, Pastor, how do you pray? You know, I pray to God, but I pray to Jesus too, and I pray the Holy Spirit would, and how do I, see, that's part of this whole triune Godhead that we're all trying to figure out. I mean, how do I pray? The Holy Spirit is God in essence. Jesus is God in essence. God the Father, God in essence. How do I pray? I'm praying to the triune Godhead, and I'm grateful and thankful, even if I don't understand it like I want to. And here he's sharing with us, starting with verse 6. This is the one, Jesus Christ, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. You see, there are some in the church that were saying, well, Jesus was born a human, and then in his baptism, the divine came down upon him, and then it left when he died. That is not the truth. That's not what Scripture teaches. He came into this world fully divine and fully human. The virgin birth, for one. He came into this world as God the Son, not eventually became God the Son. He was God the Son. He came as fully divine into the earth. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says in verse 14 in that same text, the Word became flesh. God became flesh and dwelt a while amongst us. That's the truth of the matter, right there. John is trying to tell the church, don't go what the schismatic church is trying to tell you. Jesus is who God says he is. As hard as it might be to understand it, that's who Jesus was and is and always will be. When he says he was came by water and by blood, and then it also talks about the three witnesses. Let me read this for you once again. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies. So there's three that testify here. Three that testify. Water, blood, the Spirit. There is some theological discourse about what he really meant by water and blood. It seems the one that's the most natural way to take it is that at his baptism, God was, in essence, affirming what was already, what already was. When the dove came and God spoke and they heard, it was the beginning of his public ministry, but it was affirming, you are God the Son. And by blood, affirming that you're also one who was born in flesh. And the Spirit also testifies. Jesus is God the Son. And so we get this three triple covered explanation that, yep, Jesus is who he said he was. The Spirit, the water, and the blood, in agreement. His full identity as divine and human, not one or the other, he was both. And it says in the following verse there, in verse 9, it says, man's testimony is good, because John was testifying. John had seen what was going on. John knew Jesus while he was alive on this earth. And there were many who testified to the fact that this one who died on the cross, he rose again 3 days later. Jesus died and he rose again 3 days later. We testify to that. That's human testimony. But he says in verse 9, let me read it again for you. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, which he's given about his son. He wanted us to know. John wants us to know. God's testimony about Jesus is even greater than man's testimony about Jesus, because man's testimony about Jesus is still limited by our own human understanding. And I don't know it all. And you know what? I'm glad I don't know it all. I could be, and I'm not, an extremely intelligent theologian who can explain these things in some real powerful kinds of ways and still not really fully know what's going on. I'm grateful in a way that God made me a simpleton. I did well in seminary. I mean, I got really good grades in seminary. But faith in Jesus Christ is not complicated. It's simple. And I'm still a little kid growing up. And it's very easy for me to say, Jesus is God come in human flesh. The Bible says so. I believe it. Man's testimony is good, but God's is greater. John testified to it, but God did too, by the virgin birth, by the baptism, the dove, and God's voice, by Jesus' death and resurrection. If we believe in the Son of God, then we are affirming God's testimony, as it said in verse 10. We are affirming what God already said. And we read about it in Scripture, and I believe it with all of my heart. Folks, it's important that you understand who Jesus really is. If he was just a man, and he wasn't divine, how could he save us? If he was fully divine and wasn't a man, it would be like me saying, if there's a bunch of ants down there and I want to save the ants from their own sin, I use a donkey. I'm trying to get you, some of you are looking at me a little bit confused here this morning. What I'm saying is, if I want to save them from themselves, I need to become an ant to save them. That's what Jesus did. When he came in human flesh, God said the only way that justice can come, because they are all messed up, is if you go down to earth and you become one of them. But you're the perfect one of them because you're also me. You're God. You go down and you redeem them because you're going to live amongst them for those 30-some years, and you're going to live a perfect life as the perfect Son of God, and then you are going to die on the cross as the... Because what was required in the Old Testament for sacrifice for sins? An unblemished lamb. To be quite truthful with you, there's no such thing as unblemished lamb. There's ones that look really good. We've experienced a lot of sheep in our life, haven't we? But he said he came as the perfect, unblemished Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. He came to us as one who was both fully human and fully divine to take care of something that we couldn't take for. And the guarantee is because, well, he's also fully divine. And he showed that ultimately when he said, you know what? Satan thought he won. He is a jerk. Because 3 days later, boom! Oh, I could imagine. Satan's like, crud. He rose from the dead. He conquered sin and death because he's also the divine Son of God. If we don't understand that, even in a basic level, we don't understand who Jesus really was and is. And always will be. We are sinners and God is holy. Sin demands justice. The wages of sin is death, as it says in Romans chapter 6. Who could pay so that we could stand with God? A human had to pay for humanity's problem. Only a perfect sacrifice would do that. God gave us eternal life in Jesus Christ. God gave us the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. Not because he spoke it, because he did what justice demanded. That's what he did. Because there's a part of me that says, well, God, why couldn't you just say, it's over, you're done. I mean, you're forgiven. Justice demands payment for the injustice. And Jesus said, I'll be it. That's why he stood in my stead, kind of like in a courtroom scene. You know, I see my life flash before me on the big screen. And all those things I did, I forgot some of those. You know, and you see all your life flash before you. And then God says, well, what do you plead? What's my choice? I'm guilty. And it's almost like Jesus walks into the room. And he walks down the aisle and he comes up to the front. He says to the judge, I'll pay for it. I'll pay for it. And what did God say? Okay. What did that mean? It meant my sins were taken care of because he did it for me. Because he's the perfect Lamb of God and he's nothing less than that, folks. He is nothing less than that, and don't let anyone ever tell you that. So he says, then he who has the Son in the text has life. And he who does not have the Son does not have life. It's freely available to anyone and everyone. And people keep saying, why would God send someone to hell? God doesn't send anybody to hell. He offers us the gift of life. We either take it or we don't. And if we don't, we are the ones that have chosen that path. Because God wants to give us another path. We can choose it. Or lose it. All the more reason to believe that Jesus is the complete answer to whatever ails us. The divine became human to redeem us so that we could be with the divine. And I'm going to read one text as we close here this morning, and I want to read it from Philippians chapter 2 to give us a little bit of an understanding of what Jesus actually did for us. Starting with verse 5, here's what it says. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God. See, Philippians is telling us who Jesus is. Did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. See, he realized he's dealing with people like me. I can't quite grasp it. I don't understand it, but I believe it. But made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, what that text tells me is this. Every knee at some point is going to bow and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Some to their damnation. But many to their salvation. I believe those who deny it will one day be face to face with the Son of God and realize us, we acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, and he loves me so much and loved everyone so much that he was willing to do what he did for us on the cross at Calvary so that we could have eternal life, not based on your performance nor mine. I fall short so many times, but I'm just so glad that it was based on what he did for me so I can live in freedom. So I can live knowing he's got me triple covered. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for sending your Son to do what he did on the cross at Calvary for us. If we are ever led to believe that we could be good enough to get to heaven, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand that's an impossibility because we aren't perfect. And only perfect gets to spend eternity with you. But in Christ, because what he did for us, when he died on the cross and rose again for us, he said, all your sin is forgiven, thrown away as far as the east is from the west. So we stand before you, even though we have never lived our lives in total righteousness, we are justified, as it says in the book of Romans 2. We are justified just as if we didn't. Not because of what we did, but because of what Jesus did. Help us this morning to understand the magnitude of who Jesus is and be thankful. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's turn in closing.